What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back, my friends. Hour number two here on KMOX's At Your Service. Greg Damon hanging out with you going all the way till 10 o'clock tonight. And got all sorts of great stuff to talk about here on the program. As usual, let's go ahead and bring in our next guest here. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. He's our good friend, Kenny Wallace, and he joins us here on the program. Kenny, thanks for coming out and hanging out with us tonight on a Tuesday night on At Your Service.
I'm really happy, Greg, to be on your show. I've been trying to get on here for, what, 2 years?
It seems like it's been a while, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm either racing or I'm somewhere. But anyway, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Kenny, I love to have you on. One of my favorite people. And you're just a wealth of knowledge, not necessarily about racing and everything else. But let's face it, you're St. Louis's hometown hero. And you do just such a great job for everything in St. Louis, not only that, but for the racing community as well.
You know, years ago, I heard this term called worldly. And like, what is worldly? And the gentleman said, it means you know just a little bit about everything. And so, you know, I definitely am not smart by any means. I'm not dumb either. But I know just enough to have a good time in life.
No, absolutely. I can't agree with that. But you have, come on, Kenny, man, you have as many fans today as when you did, as when you were driving every week.
I would say that social media, if used properly, and I have learned how to use it properly, and I've learned what not to do right, I believe, you know, my YouTube show, I think, you know, just conversing with the fans, showing a little bit of passion, but being stern when you need to be. I think, yes, I agree with that. It seems like I'm, you know, as they say in the NASCAR Media Center, you know, they say Herman, which is my nickname, they say you are still relative inside the NASCAR Media Center. And I think that's why, you know, Marcus Smith that owns these NASCAR race car tracks, that he called me up. And so we're going to start this NASCAR race day show all over again. And the first one is going to be April 9th at the Bristol Motor Speedway. And then after that, I think they're going to announce some more. But being worldly, staying relative, I didn't try to be. It's not like I would say, hey, you know, but I don't know. I'm staying young, running my dirt car, giving speeches, staying active.
Well, again, you're a fan's fan, so that's why fans love you. I, you know what, Kenny? Every time you're on, I try to play this, and I couldn't find it, but I finally found it, so let's hear this.
This is going to be a whale of a finish. White flag lap as they come down to the line. One to go. Racing for the lead in the Winston 500. Contact between Earnhardt Jr. and Skinner. Bobby Labonte tries to sandwich in. Meanwhile, the outside lane is long gone as they get to turn one.
Dale Earnhardt leads the way. Now it is Kenny Wallace who moves up to the second position on the final lap of the Winston 500. Joe Niemicek pulls up into the third position. It is a three-car breakaway. Last trip down the backstretch.
Decision time at Talladega as Dale Earnhardt tries to do it again. But here comes Kenny Wallace looking to the outside lane. Earnhardt blocks him going into three. Three-car race for the win.
Kenny Wallace looking for that breakthrough victory. Earnhardt trying to block him high and low. Nobody jumping out of line. Here come the leaders off the corner. It's going to be a three-way battle for the win. They'll come by the Ted Musgrave car with Earnhardt leading.
Here they come into the tri-oval. Kenny Wallace, one final shot at Dale Earnhardt. Behind him, the whole pack steaming for the finish line. Dale Earnhardt wins it. Earnhardt wins the Winston 500 as there's trouble after the finish. Ward Burton spins. Car is spinning. Steve Grissom crashes after the checkered flag. About six cars are involved down in turn number one, but it is over here at Talladega. Dale Earnhardt has won the race.
I got to tell you, Kenny still brings goosebumps to me on top of it. One of the greatest race calls of all time.
Oh, man, I love that. That is absolutely awesome. You know, while I was listening to that, I thought of David Freese hitting that home run to take the Cardinals, you know, to game seven. That was a wonderful time, and I love it. I absolutely love listening to that and listen to it once a year or so. But it was a great moment in time. It was a great memory. And, the older I get, I value those times, you know. Heard a crazy story about a year or two ago. Bjorn Borg, I believe the German tennis player, he said, I got bitter after I got done playing tennis. And he said, I was just very bitter. I was not in a good spot. And he sold all his legendary trophies, you know, his Wimbledon and, you know, whatever he won, he sold the stuff. He didn't want any memory of it. And years later, he said, oh, my God, I was in a very bad spot. I didn't value what I did. And he said he spent millions buying those trophies back. And that story really hit home with me. And I don't know where I read it. I don't know if it was on an ESPN magazine or it was a special. But I really value that. You know, you hear these actors, you know, going, oh, you know, I'm embarrassed of some of my early movies. And I can understand that when you're young. But, you know, when you get older, I'll be 60 years old in August. When you get older, you know, you take value. Those were the times that built me. And so when I heard that, now that I'm getting older, I value it more. It means a lot to me. It was a great race. It was, I think, one of the top five races in NASCAR history, for sure. Maybe top three, or maybe the greatest of all time. They have definitely taken a lot of polls. So, yeah, I've changed, and that Bjorn Borg story, I'll never forget that. So I've straightened my act up a lot. And, yeah.
So let me ask you this. On that clip, is there anything you would have done different? Looking back at it now, is there anything you would have done different at that race?
Well, yeah. Now that I look back on it, you know, I've said it a couple of times. When we broke clear of the inside row, so I was pushing. Now, hold on. Let me back up. What made that race so great is what you did not hear. Myself and Dale Earnhardt Sr. had really bad pit stops. So we came from dead last, which was like 40th, in 10 laps. So every lap, we were just slicing our way through the field. You know, I was leading him, then he got by me, and he put his hand up. Dale Sr. put his hand up because we're friends. He said, come on, Herman, help me. And I said, all right. You know, this is about the only way we're going to get up there. So that's what made that finish so great is we started dead last with 10 to go. And back then there was 250,000 people in the grandstands, right? So I can hear the crowd over our motor noise. I can hear the crowd, like, you know, just for a moment, like, wow. So we get underneath the start-finish line, one lap to go. And I thought, oh, my God, I got a little bit of a run here. Maybe I should pull out and try to pass him. And I looked in the mirror, and I didn't notice the car behind me. Because, see, at that track, you just can't pass people. You got to have aerodynamic help. Oh, man, I messed up, and I didn't realize it. My own teammate had a one-off different paint job. It was a Jack Daniels paint job. I didn't recognize it. So I didn't pull out. And, you know, as I look back on it, maybe that's what I would have done. But if I would have pulled out, maybe it wouldn't have worked, and I'd have fell to
17th.
20th.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
right.
Pull out by yourself, and that's it, man. You're done. That's
right.
For sure.
Right, that's it.
All right, Kenny, I got to take a quick break. Hang with me a few more minutes. I want to get into a little bit of NASCAR.
All right.
All right, fantastic. Folks, on the phone, we're visiting with our good friend Kenny Wallace here tonight on KMOX is at your service. Stick around. More to come. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. 9:18 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair. Matt Pajeski kicking out the jams tonight. And we're talking with our good friend Kenny Wallace on the phone here. And Kenny, again, thanks for hanging out with us here on a Tuesday night on At Your Service.
I'm honored. I'm honored to be here with y'all. KMOX, baby.
You're all, you know, come on, man. As I said, you're St. Louis's favorite son. Come on.
You know, it's a great story because, you know, I grew up in St. Louis and moved to North Carolina to become a race car driver. And I was down there for 27 years. And I was so excited to move to North Carolina. But like 10 years later, I came up for air, so to speak. I was so focused, like a horse with blinders on. So when I went down there, my focus was to become a NASCAR race car driver. And I did. I lived my dream for all those years, 27 years, racing at the highest form of motorsports. And then 10 years after I went down there, I'm like, man, I miss St. Louis. St. Louis is awesome. Gateway to the West, you know, the Arch, the mighty Mississippi. I miss my Cardinals. I kind of miss my high school buddies. So, you know, we ended up moving back here 27 years later just because I really like St. Louis. So, you know, and a big part of that was, as a child, listening to the great, you know, Jack Buck and Mike Shannon call those Cardinal games because I was a little athlete. You know, I played Quarry League baseball. So, you know, I just love St. Louis.
Yep, it's great, and KMOX is great. You know, I remember at Texas Motor Speedway walking back to the car just to check the Blues game on KMOX one time. So,
it's just crazy. Absolutely. Well, you know, there's an old song. It goes like this. It says, you know, they paved paradise and put in a parking lot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got until it's gone? So that is like that in life. You know, when you leave somewhere or they take something away from you, it's like, wow, that really was good, you know. So, but it takes losing things. And, you know, I would have loved to have lived in St. Louis and raced in NASCAR. You know, Darrell Waltrip did that, the great Darrell Waltrip. He lived in Nashville, Tennessee his whole life while he raced in NASCAR. And I think that was really good for him.
Yeah, but, you know, it's tough because you're still away from home a long time because you have to be, you know, obviously North Carolina, the Mecca, so in Charlotte, and you know, the Mecca of racing, you have to, you got to be there. You got to be there every day, so.
Yeah, we needed to live there. No different than, you know, if you want to be a country western singer, you should most likely go on down to Nashville because there's so many producers, sound people. You should probably be there. And it's like if you're going to be an actor or an actress, you should most likely, you know, go to Hollywood. Now, once you get more settled, you might be able to move on out, But, yeah, the reason we did live in Charlotte was just what you said. Needed to be there because, you know, just, you know, in no time, I could be everywhere I needed to be. You know, so it really did work out.
Yep, absolutely. Well, let's get into a little bit about the NASCAR. I got to tell you, the hottest thing going right now, Kyle Busch talking about Denny Hamlin and some of these younger racers as well. Man, talking about lack of respect for other people.
You know, there's been so much to talk about in NASCAR. You know, we have the Kenny Wallace show on YouTube, and we get these crazy amount of views, 100,000, 500,000. And really NASCAR right now for the Kenny Wallace YouTube show is the gift that keeps giving, just like you're saying. There's so much animosity, so much controversy, and I'm loving it. And it's coming in a different way now because, you know, as we say back in the day, it was Dale Earnhardt Sr. bumping people, spinning them out. They'd get into the wall. Or it was my brother Rusty saying something controversial. Or it was, you know, Jeff Bodine getting in Earnhardt or Bill Elliott and Earnhardt. So we had the same thing years ago, but now with social media, it's minute by minute, hour by hour. And, you know, what you're talking about, that soundbite, it was on a Friday last week in Atlanta, and it was raining. And so they had no practice. There was nothing to do. So the media went around the Atlanta Motor Speedway, and they got a good soundbite from Kyle Busch, one from Denny Hamlin, another one from Chad Knaus. And, you know, they all were pretty equal, but the Kyle Busch one did hit home. He said, there's no more respect in racing. All these young kids just wreck each other. They don't show no etiquette. And, you know, I agree with him, but, you know, if you don't, you know, when you agree with him or don't agree with him, it goes back, oh, you're just old. You know, this is the way we do it now, you know. So, you know, now the kids like wrecking each other. Now the kids like cutting you off. They like blocking you. I'm going to tell you what, if you blocked Dale Earnhardt, like if Dale Earnhardt was getting ready to pass you and you turned left and blocked him, he'd have wrecked you in a heartbeat.
Sure he would have.
And, yeah, so, you know, Earnhardt always told me, he said, Herman, you give me a lane. You give me a lane. If you don't give me a lane, I'm going to take you out. So, you know, that was the deal. Now these kids are desperate. They don't want to give you a lane. And then they wreck you. Then they get in an argument. You're like, hey, you didn't give me a lane. So I had to spin you out. And so, you know what I mean? It's like a Rubik's Cube. You know, you change one thing, it changes the other. So they're really all guilty. It's just a tit for tat. It's like a tennis game. The ball just keeps going back and forth.
Yeah, but do you think, and he mentioned this as well, there's really no repercussions from NASCAR?
Well, there wasn't really anything from NASCAR years ago either. And then they started governing pretty hard. And then everybody started getting mad at NASCAR. And if you remember the famous press conference by Robin Pemberton, he was the, you know, kind of director of competition at that time. He got up on stage, you know, with Brian France, who, you know, owns a NASCAR. And they said, okay, we're going to quit penalizing everybody so much. We're going to quit being so hard. And the famous quote, boys have at it.
Yep.
And we're going to let you drivers settle it out between yourself. Well, that didn't work either. You know, Joey Logano went into turn one and hit Matt Kenseth, spun him out on purpose. Then 2 weeks later, Matt Kenseth goes on the racetrack and just demolishes, takes Joey Logano out. So they realize, okay, there's got to be police. You know, listen, you got to have police. You can't have everybody running around town with guns. So, and you know, you got to moderate, you got to govern, and it just didn't work. So no matter what, if we're going to have bad guys, it might as well be the police. It might as well be, you know, the NASCAR executives, the NASCAR officials, because, you know, there's an old saying, save us from ourselves, right? Save us from ourselves because we're wrecking each other. And we need somebody to blame this on. So, you know, if we blame the police, which is NASCAR, right? Blame it on them. That way we can all get along.
Right.
Right. So that's where we're at.
Well, Kenny, I want to thank you for joining us. Now, you've got a limited race schedule this year. You're close to home this year.
Yep. We're going to run four different tracks. We're going to run 30 races. We're going to run the I-55 Raceway, Peabody, Missouri, Tri-City Speedway, Granite City, Illinois, Highland, Illinois, and Brownstown, Illinois. And, you know, just want to say I'm super excited to work with Curtis Francois. Curtis has done a wonderful job over there with Chris Blair. We'll be doing the Kenny Wallace live show again for the NASCAR race. And, you know, they're doing wonderful things over there, and I just wanted to get that in before we went too far. So proud of our NASCAR track, bringing the Cup Series to St. Louis.
Nope, absolutely. All right, Kenny, for folks who want to get in touch with you, where can they see you? Where can they get a hold of you at?
Well, you just, you know, on any social media, we put our schedule out a month ahead of time. Go to any social media, go through my timeline. My schedule is up right now for the full month of April. And, of course, go to KennyWallace.com. But really, my social media is the best. just anything on social media or the Kenny Wallace YouTube show is unbelievable. We're kicking content out with Charlie Marlowe, who used to work for Channel 2. He's my YouTube manager, and it's kicking butt. So, yeah.
It's really good on top of it. So,
I think so.
I enjoy watching.
Thank you.
All right, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye, Greg.
Thanks so much. That's our good friend Kenny Wallace here on KMOX's At Your Service. We're going to take a quick break. Coming back, we're going to talk a little basketball. That's right. Stick around.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.